Can you smell it? That's week one of the NFL, baby.
We are finally here.
Gosh, where's the fireworks? Where's the celebratory music? All the food takes are no longer valid.
But it's we can't have real music. You know that, Dusty.
Yeah, come on. It's true. It's all about your fantasy drafts that you all had this weekend, last night, or tonight, maybe Wednesday night.
Wrapping things up before you get ready to roll into the first game of the year on, alleged game on Thursday. I still haven't heard much about that one since the real game of the year is on Friday night
I'm hard.
I mean, we finally met. It was almost Halloween, Mac, and here we sit right at the start of the next NFL season. I don't know what I was going through yesterday, but I was going through some notes or something, and I was like, 75 days away from the NFL season or something like that. Mac's question is coming up for 75 days away. And here we are inside a week to the start of the NFL season. And remember, it's going to go fast this week, folks, because today is already Tuesday. So know those folks in your office are going to show up about 10 o'clock and need things from yesterday that they didn't get they didn't do before the weekend. And then it's going to be on you to get done. So get ready for that, because Tuesday is here, folks. Tuesday is here. And we're ready to have ourselves a time and get ready for some football, man. We got our appetizers over the weekend with some college football, I guess. Huh? I don't know how good those appetizers necessarily were, but what the hell? We got some football.
Yeah. Had college football Monday night last night. That was a dud.
Yep.
TCU had 542 yards of offense. North Carolina had 222.
All on the first drive, I think, is when those came. Exactly. Bill Belichick was out coached last night by a gentleman named Spike Dykes. Just let that sit in for a minute, man.
Jimmy's son.
Yes, exactly. He was out coached by Spike Dykes last night. And every game that Bill Belichick coaches and every minute that he spends on the football field, I hate to say this and to be that guy, but more and more shines the light on it really was Tom Brady through all of this, because since Tom Brady has left, Bill Belichick has not been that good as a head football coach. And boy, last night, couldn't have gotten any worse for him and Jordan and everybody last night down in Chapel Bill. I mean, that was as bad a debut as you could have possibly have had. And with all the noise that surrounded Bill Belichick, guys, going into this season and all the noise still surrounding him, to have a game like that, boy, that was not a good performance by Chapel Bill last night.
48 points scored by TCU marked the most allowed by UNC in any opener in the history, according to Sport Radar. God. The resume is starting off hot. For one, Bill Belichick.
Oh, I'm hot today. Yeah. I mean, but isn't he the defensive guru, right? He's supposed to be the greatest defensive mind of all time.
Ever.
Watching the game last night, and after he released that depth chart that was making its way around the internet where he just listed positions and nobody's names, right? What an ass for doing that. I hope Andy Reid not only beats his record, but runs by his record and leaves this guy in the dust when it comes to NFL wins, because we're finding out more and more by the day. Bill Belichick is a fraud, man.
And then his depth chart was pretty interesting. Flip card, just no names on the second tier.
Tight end, quarterback,
end. That was one end.
Jeez,
not defensive. Just end.
End.
Yeah, and then just the classic Bill Belichick walkout, just stern look into the camera, walking, and then just the monotone voice in the interview. Well, I guess we'll have to play the game today and see what happens. Okay, Bill. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ollie. Yeah. Appreciate you. But no, it was a bad debut for Bill Belichick. It was a bad debut for Alabama's coach. Again, not a debut, but a bad second year debut for that young man. And then it was a bad debut for Arch Manning.
Yep.
Didn't live up to that hype.
No, not at all.
And then a bad day for ranking college football teams before college football teams actually play. So maybe let's not have our rankings until about week four of the college football season. Maybe that would be a little bit more whatsoever. But a lot of unders hit in week one, which means all the overs will hit in week two. Obviously, we all watched the game on Saturday at your place. Yeah. Thanks again for having us over.
You got it.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very fun.
Got to meet all of Mac's brothers. Mm-hmm. Maloney was obviously there. Binkley was loving life. And Gold and I just sat back and gambled the entire time.
Well, it's funny because Binkley was definitely in his element. I mean, I don't know if there's an element more for a human being than what Jay Binkley had on Saturday. Showed up first to get there, obviously, which is cool. Dropped a beer. I think my wife actually did that. So we had a shattered beer, you know, all over the place. And then, you know, the game came on, and that wasn't much of a game. It really wasn't, man. Like, I apologize for the level of gameplay in that one. Arch Manning did not look great at all in that game. No. I told you guys, I thought the kid for TCU last night looked really, really good. He was throwing dimes all over the place. I mean, that first touchdown he had, that was like threaded the needle in the corner of the end zone. You're not going to find a better pass than that. You're not going to find one on Sunday better than that pass.
That was a diamond the bucket, man.
I mean, that was as good a pass as I've seen in years by any quarterback. That thing was awesome. So, you know, the game wasn't much, but I think everybody had themselves a pretty good time on Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah.
I always like the next day when you're kind of putting the pieces of the last night together and you start to talk to people and they're like, I did that. I was there. I don't remember this. And you start to kind of put the pieces together of how A became Z at the end of the night, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, this is how it all happened. And, you know, the best part about it was people left stuff behind, Dusty. You did. You left this potholder behind that you brought over to the house. Maloney left his chair, which he finally came and picked up, because I said to Maloney, I said, if you don't come pick up this chair, it's going on Facebook Marketplace, you know, by the end of the day. And then Mac left his keys, left his keys behind. And the best part about that is Mac sent his mom to pick his stuff up. Yeah. That was a Jay Binkley move if I've ever seen one. Like, I mean, first of all, the fact that your mom did that, you better be kissing her feet to the day she dies.
I mean,
that is a mom through and through.
It was a great move. But
you pulling that stunt is about as juvenile and Binkley-ish as I've ever seen, because Jenny texted me. She said, Mac is going to come by. I got a text like 8 o'clock. By 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, I think, or Sunday morning, I was out in Tonganoxie at Ralph's house. We were sitting in the barn at like 7 a.m., right?
Nice.
And I'm getting wood for the fire pit and everything, right? Getting stacking all the wood, getting ready for fall. And Mac sends a text, I'll be over in the next couple of hours to get my stuff. And it never happened, right? And so all of a sudden, Jen sends me the Ring video shoot. He sent his mother. And there's Mac's poor mom picking up his stuff. Why couldn't you get your ass off the couch or whatever you were doing and pick up your stuff, as opposed to sending your poor mother, who is a saint?
She's the best.
I mean, she is a saint for coming over and picking up that stuff, man.
It meant we were at her house sooner for the night for dinner to hang out. It meant about 30 more minutes of brother and me time. So that's why I asked.
Sure, yeah.
She was very nice to do it. Uh-huh. Hannah had a similar reaction to you.
Oh, she did. Good.
I can't believe you asked her.
I can't believe she did it. I mean, I can't believe she said,
no
sure.
No questions asked.
I'll go over there and pick up your booze and your keys and your shoes and whatever else you left over at the house.
Thank you, Mom.
I mean, at 27 years old, you got Mom rolling around doing your errands for you. Binkley's like, what's her number? I hear she's single.
Give her the wrong number, please. That was fun for sure. But hey, man, that's what moms are for, man. Lean on them.
Yeah, it was clutch.
Clutch.
And I know last night my wife's doing it. Of course, my kids are in high school, don't really drive yet.
Thank you, Mom. I couldn't drive.
Shout out Momo, man.
I mean, man, and that was the text from my wife. She goes, Momo's here picking up the stuff.
Hell yeah.
I knew I was going to catch flack for that.
Of course. Catching strays, baby.
Uh-huh. That was it.
And I will say this. Don't expect Hannah to do that, dude.
No.
Clearly not. She's already upset.
No. Do not expect, you're not marrying for a mother, okay?
No way.
Just remember that.
That's why I live here. Mom's just a stone's throw.
Yeah.
She's just so happy to have all the boys. So she's like, Mom, can you go to the moon? And okay. I mean, you took advantage of your poor mother.
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. Still no text line. So again, we're not mad at anybody. We just don't have it. So hopefully the boss will figure that out. It's now been 6 days since that's been down. So that's good. Hopefully get that up and running. But we did see yesterday the final edition of the top 100 was there. Saquon Barkley, number one, replacing last year's number one, which was
Tyreek Hill, who's also replaced as captain of the Miami Dolphins.
First time. They cut some down. So,
yeah.
That's
what it was.
Yeah. Ollie Gordon's a captain, or at least he will be by the end of the season for the Miami Dolphins. For those of you in fantasy football, go get Ollie Gordon. He should be a stud this year. Devon Achane is going live on Instagram Live. Not saying anything, just staring at the camera. Don't know if you guys saw that yesterday.
No, I missed that.
Yeah. Devon Achane went live and just stared at the camera, looked over, didn't say a word.
Cool. If you're going to do that, tell us what's going on, dude. Yeah. Stop being one of these.
Yeah, it's weird. If
morbid
you type in Devon Achane on Twitter, just literally went live and just the whole time just.
Is that akin to the eyeball tweet? Yeah. You know, is that the video version of tweeting eyeballs up there? Ooh, look what's going to come, this afternoon. Ooh.
That's right. Yeah. So they just, you just did all that awkwardness. But again, Patrick Mahomes finds himself fifth on the list. What was it? Josh Allen was two, I believe.
No, Lamar was two. Josh was three.
And then Chase was four. Yep. Mahomes five. Burrow six. And then the rest of the list you can find easily on NFL.com. I'm okay with fifth.
I am too. I saw that yesterday. I'm like, I honest to God, it's voted on by your peers and everything. I get all that. I was surprised he was that high. You know, with all the negativity that's been surrounding Patrick Mahomes for whatever reason this offseason, they went out there and they still voted him as the fifth best player in the NFL. A lot of negativity going towards Patrick Mahomes. And how do you not vote Saquon Barkley number one after what he did last season, right? I think everybody kind of had that feeling that Saquon Barkley was going to be number one. He did leap a man backwards, for God's sakes, and led his team, you know, to the Super Bowl. Didn't get the Super Bowl win for his team. His quarterback ended up doing that, as we saw. But, yeah, I mean, how do you not put Saquon Barkley number one on that list? And I don't think anybody's arguing with Ja'Marr Chase or Lamar Jackson or any of that. So, ultimately, the list is good. Travis Kelce not on this list, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, Travis Kelce did not make the top 100.
I don't think he did.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't recall his name ever.
No, he definitely did.
He did? Are we sure about that? Because I swear I saw somewhere that Travis hadn't made the top 100 list yet. But anyway, I haven't been following the top 100 this year. It just felt clunky, or I don't know. It didn't feel like it had been in the past. It felt like it was just kind of thrown out there as an afterthought. No, almost.
I think Mahomes, Jones, Kelce, and McDuffie are all on the list.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though. I thought Travis was like in the top 40, top 35. I don't know. I thought I saw his name on there. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I know he slipped severely low in fantasy drafts. I know that for a fact, because I was looking like eighth round and somebody took Travis Kelce in our league. And I'm like, we have a bunch of homers in this league that are taking. Somebody took Rashee Rice in the fourth, thought that was a sexy pick. Obviously, you're out six games, but then when he comes back, boom, you have a wide receiver one. Then you have a bye week, so hopefully health is there. But it is officially week one of the NFL season. We are officially back. And go ahead, Mac.
Yeah, he was in it. Yeah, he was actually pretty high, 37.
Okay, 37.
He's pretty high.
Okay.
Top 40.
All right.
It should be an interesting start to the season. Thursday night, we get football. Friday night, obviously, you get that game. Saturday, KU, Mizzou, and Michigan and Oklahoma. And then Sunday, Red Zone, on your couch. Don't be bothered. The entire NFL season starts on Sunday, and everything gets rolling. But when we come back, we give you our best bet of the year for the Chiefs. Jim Harbaugh said absolutely something that's crazy. And the return of the library is back in session here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
It's today.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Tuesday. That's right. Football season has officially started. Don't forget, Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You do get started today, right? Today or tomorrow, probably the last day of everybody's fantasy football draft. You're getting your gears going. You're starting to get into the football season. Chiefs play on Friday at 7 o'clock. You can hear that game on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, Vern's On Deck show will be on 6:10 a.m. K-State Saturday, Missouri, Kansas Saturday, Sunday, full slate of NFL. Well, you'll have nothing to worry about because your team will already play in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Chargers Chiefs Friday. Cannot get more excited about that or not. You have your red Chiefs Kingdom flag getting sold at McDonald's on Friday as well.
Wow.
So again, feel free to bring Mac and I some hash browns. Bob loves the big steak and egg and cheese and bagel.
Yep.
Give him one of those. He'd love to smash one of those about 8:30 in the morning. See if he can make it to the end of the show without running out of the room. But we're here, man. We get to look at all the futures this week. If you do like to do something like that, obviously Missouri, you got to wait until pretty much Christmas. Is now every single news channel starting to roll with that on.
I September thought it was 30. So it's not December 1st anymore.
I mean, that's basically Christmas.
I didn't know if it got pushed back again is what I was saying.
24 days until Christmas when you can make a bet on that. So there are some numbers out there you can look at. Some of these are via DraftKings. Some of these are via FanDuel or Underdog as well. But we look at what our best bet for this year's Chiefs team is. Bob, you're first on the list. What's one of the bets that you're putting, I don't know, Delaney's college fund on?
Well, I'm not going to be doing anything like that. Yahoo had an article like the best bet for every team, right? Mm-hmm. And they said Travis Kelce on the under 700.5 receiving yards. They're taking the under on that as their best bet. for the Kansas City Chiefs. First of all, where do you guys stand on that? Because I'm going, obviously, I'm taking the over on that one. I think that 700.5 number is a very good number for Travis Kelce to blow out of the water, I think. I think this is everybody downplaying Travis Kelce. I think this is the preseason talk of Travis Kelce. This isn't the he dropped 25 pounds and he's ready to go Travis Kelce. This is the post-Super Bowl, everybody looking at Travis Kelce number. And that's why I think that number right there is a perfect blow it out of the water, go over on that one.
I think that number went up, actually, as soon as Rashee Rice got his suspension of six games, because what we saw everybody's narrative turn to in the wake of that news was, well, the plan was, right, the plan was to kind of like, you know, stack Travis towards the end, keep him healthy as long as you possibly can. He's getting older, right? He's, what, 35? Now he's getting older into his career. He's not the same tight end that he was. But now you don't have Rashee Rice. Hollywood Brown's, I think, good to go, but you don't want to really put all your, you know, eggs into that basket. Xavier Worthy, second year, going to get a lot of attention with Rashee Rice out. Going to have to target Travis Kelce early. First 6 weeks will be crucial for that bet. Because if he averages, what, 80 yards a game in the first six
that's
games?
That's 480. That's more than halfway there.
He's getting for sure if he does that.
Right, yeah, right? 220 behind that number that you want to hit.
Even if he averages 70 a game for the first six games, that's still 4,200. That's 420 yards,
which is really good,
I mean, for six games to have 420, hell yes, that's really good.
Saying 70 yards a game is fantastic.
Oh, I know it is. Yeah, I mean, you look at the averages for guys, right, and a lot of these over-unders are like 59.5 per game. Yep. Like, we think every receiver, 100 yards, 10 sacks, 50 touchdowns. Like, we have these tentpole numbers in our minds that we think are what's supposed to happen. And then you look at what really happens. And that's why people need to be exposed to the reality and not just the, you know, the fantasy side of things, because about 60 yards a game is pretty good in the NFL. So I think my, other than Travis going in the over on that one, I like Xavier Worthy over 900.5 receiving yards this year. I think he's going to be huge in this offense. And so I would take Xavier Worthy over the 900.5 receiving yards this year.
I am excited to see what his development looks like this year. Just because of, in the past, we've seen guys that, like, Rashee Rice last year was on his way. Unfortunately, got the knee injury, but what do you have, 288 yards in the first 3 weeks of the season? Was second in the league in yak behind Nico Collins, who was just absolutely shredding as well. Obviously, he would get hurt in that same week or 1 week before or after, where they both just kind of injuries kind of debunked that season of where they could have gone. But year two in the system with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, the trust, the field vision, the know-with-all of where you need to be, excited to see what X can do in this offense, especially with that speed and that talent. So I don't hate that bet at all. I mean, 900 these days. I mean,
and again, it's 17 games. Sometimes I think people forget we've added this extra game on. Now, the Chiefs haven't played in that game because they haven't needed to play in that game, and that does kind of affect your betting and your over-under odds and things of that nature if they're not playing the full 17-game schedule. But, I mean, somebody's got to play in that 17th game, and I think if, you know, Worthy and, you know, Travis are close to setting milestones, they'll probably be out there in that 17th week.
Right. Mac, you got a bet that you like?
Yeah, I think especially Travis. That Kelce number is really good. I don't know where to go on that one. I'll do Chris Jones over 7.75 sacks. He's done that.
7.75.
I know.
Like, explain that to me,
because you can
please.
Get a quarter sack. You can get a half sack.
You get a half, but okay.
So,
you see
what I'm saying? Yes.
Okay.
Seven and a half or eight, basically. So you're betting in that he gets eight sacks is what you're doing.
Because
so,
you can't really give the hook because it's a half.
Because it's a half.
Got you.
Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, -108. He's done that three of the last 4 years. He's only not done that four out of the 9 years in his career. His first two seasons, last season, there was a year where he had 7.5. So he was right under the 7.75. But yeah, three out of the last 4 years, he's had at least nine sacks. I think another 10 sack season's on the way for Chris Jones. I think last year was five. He led the league in pressure rate. We know a lot of the reasons that he couldn't finish. I think this D-line's deeper. It's healthier. I think he's going to be able to grab his hands on the quarterback more and be able to take him down. So, yeah, give me eight sacks easy for Chris Jones. I'll go double digits on that.
Yeah, I think, that, again, Chris Jones falls into that category. If you watch the Kingdom episode, you know who the three main pillars are. They showed you, like, who matters in this organization when they went into the caves, right? And Chris Jones was one of those guys. He falls into that American Pie theme that I've laid out since basically March about this year. It's the final year. It's senior year, right? And I know a lot of people are just rejoining us after, you know, an offseason and whatnot, but this is senior year, okay? This is everybody wanting to go out with a bang. That's why I think Travis Kelce is going to be huge this year. And I also think Chris Jones is going to be huge this year. He's part of that crew. He's part of that let's go out you know, with celebration. And I think Chris Jones has taken it upon himself. You mentioned 5 sacks last year. Not a great number for Chris Jones, right? You want to get back and you want to be one of the great defensive linemen in the NFL where you're the first name that everybody thinks of. He gets back to that double-digit sack this year because I do think he has more help along the defensive line now.
Number I found, because some of these numbers, obviously, that we've had here, I looked on DraftKings just to look at Mahomes' passing numbers, because you can look at every quarterback. I think Daniel Jones is 285.5.
Total yards for the year.
I kid,
I'm under.
Yeah. Mahomes on DraftKings as of last night at about 7 p.m. was 4,050 yards. I'm hammering that number. I know it sounds biased or that it's a homer take, but I have Patrick Mahomes going to be my MVP this year in the league with a little bit of money on Joe Burrow as well. Because if we're going to go last year's narrative, it just seemed to be Josh Allen's time. Mm-hmm. This year, it might be Joe Burrow's time. That offense is going to be insane. They get into the playoffs. They missed last year. There's going to be a lot of weight on Burrow's side of that voting. But if Mahomes goes out there this year, I think he throws for way more than 4,050 yards. I think he could be in the 4,500 range, especially after week 6 when he gets all of his targets back on the field, hopefully at the same time. But 4,050, I think, you know, he's only not thrown for 4,000 yards or 4,050 yards twice. Last year, one of those, and then I think the year before that as well. But I like Patrick Mahomes over 450 yards. That is minus 110 on DraftKings. So not plus money, but damn close to where you could put a little bit of skin on that and you could be actually profitable with that bet. But again, you play the Chargers week 1 in Brazil, which means you get Mr. Harbaugh, right? You get everybody's favorite weird coach that has that's right. Worms had guns and machine guns that birds wouldn't fear him or whatever the hell he says. And, well, this is Jim Harbaugh on week 1.
We're all looking forward to it. The travel, the excitement of being the only game, NFL game, Friday night, and will be viewed worldwide. The staff has made it so good. You know, I'm just really broken it down Barney style for us that gives you the feeling of excitement and travel and go play the opener and on a huge stage.
Big on this travel thing, isn't he? What is Barney style?
Worldwide.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask you
The purple dinosaur?
That's what I was thinking. Like, I love you, you love me. Like, what is Barney style? Is that like a secret menu item at In-N-Out? You know, you get an animal style and all that. Like, is Barney style a secret menu item somewhere?
It's a term meaning to explain something extremely simple, step-by-step turns, as if talking to a child. Barney.
Yeah,
Barney
I've never heard that before.
Barney style. How many things has he said in his life that you've never heard before?
A lot.
But
there's actually a definition for this.
This one came up on Google.
Yeah,
which means,
that's why I'm saying, like, I've never heard that before. Clearly, it's not something he made up, right?
Because he says a lot of things that's not going to come up on Google.
No. yeah, Barney style. I mean.
Interesting. I'll steal that.
Yeah. All right, let's do this Barney style.
What was that Korean pop star? Gangnam style is
Gangnam style
swept the world. Maybe Barney style sweeps the world as well.
I mean, I can't believe none of us have ever heard that before. And you typed it into Google, and it was right there. It was like an everyday lexicon. I'll have to ask my kids if they've ever heard of something Barney style.
Is that how you're gonna like start telling your kids to do stuff like that? Do I need to do Barney style explanation where you guys do the chores?
Right.
Take trash, pull out. Tie strings, take two dumpsters.
Yeah, you can go through all of that and it's still not going to happen. I mean, you know, you can go Barney style all you want on the kids. They're not going to listen to you.
What was his baby bop? Is that what her name was?
I have no idea.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, Barney was, I guess, kind of in my era. I just never watched it.
It wasn't. No, I don't think it was like, I don't even know that my kids watched Barney a lot. Right?
I didn't know that Mr. Rogers signed off in 2001.
No, my God.
I saw a thing yesterday. It was like this. On this date in 2001, Mr. Rogers signs off for the first time on PBS. I was like, damn, he made it all the way to 2001.
I thought it was a lot later, honestly. You know?
I do, too, just because I watched growing up. But I was watching reruns.
I think we probably all were watching reruns of something. I was watching I Love Lucy reruns. You were watching Mr. Rogers reruns. And our parents were watching no reruns. but with the Barney style thing, man, like he was annoying, but Caillou was the most annoying SOB that was out there. I don't know if you Caillou'd or not when you were growing up. That kid needed his ass kicked, man.
Ooh. If you're hearing this sound,
that sounds like an old music.
Shh. You got to use your inside voice, Bob. We're back in football season.
Oh, it's the library, huh?
Lycan's Library has returned to Fesco and Dusty.
I wish I had an inside voice.
For those of you that are a bit, stop laughing so loud, Matt. Come on.
Sorry.
Mom, your mom kick can you pick out of you here. Up. It is Lycan's Library. Somebody should sponsor this segment. Some people hate this segment, but those people are just grouchy on a Tuesday as we dive in to the library. We start off with the first book off the shelf. It's hot. You can open it up. You can smell those musty pages. Best news story. Ashton Genty or Amarian Hampton?
Fellas? Ashton Genty for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Go with Genty.
Shh. Nope. Stop yelling. There are people trying to read with their Starbucks and their laptop open doing absolutely nothing. Those people live here rent-free. Ashton Genty, the rookie out of Boise State, playing for the Raiders. Amarian Hampton, rookie out of North Carolina. Probably glad he's
could
not
have used
there
him last night.
Bob, please stop yelling. You'll be removed. And both running backs are in the AFC West, and you'll get to see one on Friday night at 7 o'clock. You guys both take the Ashton Genty book.
Mm-hmm.
Three-day rental, and you're back by Friday.
Okay.
Better second story. So book two of the chapters, Ladd McConkey or Brock Bowers?
This is an easy one for me. It's Ladd McConkey.
Really?
Yeah, because Brock Bowers has a new quarterback, new coach, new system. Ladd McConkey doesn't really have a quarterback or a coach, but at least he knows who those guys are.
Okay, well, I don't know what's worse, the hot take or the loud voice.
Yes. I do.
Who's Ladd McConkey's quarterback again?
Right now, I'm going to start calling you Loud McConkey if you keep talking.
Bowers.
You're taking the Brock?
Best tight end in the league.
In the league?
Wow, going to bat for the fake quarterback in L.A., and then you're taking the guy from the Raiders.
Yes.
Justin Herbert might go scorched earth this year.
It's true. It's true.
Brock Bowers, his...
We all have that chance to go scorched earth.
Mm-hmm. Brock Bowers' book comes with a new look. It's called The Bald Version. Let me ask you something, brother. We get back into one of the more fun books in our Lycan's Library here on a Tuesday. The Story of Revenge. Bryce Young or Daniel Jones? Sometimes the non-popular sellers can be good reads. Who's your best revenge story this year, Bryce Young or Daniel Jones?
And move on to the next section.
You know, as far as revenge goes, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has more to revenge right now.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, he's got more chip on his shoulder.
But does he know that he has that chip on his shoulder? See, that's where I am with Daniel Jones. Is he aware of what's going on?
He has no idea.
Yeah.
Mr. Fesco has no idea about a library voice as we're yelling here as we continue.
Kiss my ass.
There is no cussing in the library. That's rule number two. Number three, new bio. Best new biography.
Ooh.
Cam Ward, Travis Hunter.
Cam Ward.
Yes.
Picks 1 and 2 in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be Cam Ward. I'm really excited.
Cam Ward starting for Tennessee on Sunday for the first time of his career. Travis Hunter will play defense and offense. You get to pick your own story there. Do you want to start on the defensive side or the offensive side for one Travis Hunter?
And the Titans will see our AFC West division rivals, the Broncos, week one.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say they were going to win.
No, I didn't either.
But
saying,
I'm excited to see Cam Ward.
Guys. Moving on to a fantasy novel. We don't know what it could be, so we have a fantasy section here.
Okay.
Mike Vrabel or Liam Cohen. And before you do anything on Liam Cohen, he was a best supporting writer for Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Turned both of their careers around. Trevor Lawrence, a.k.a. Marilyn Manson, Macaulay Culkin had a child. It was Trevor Lawrence. Could he do it there? So again, the new fantasy novel of the year, Mike Vrabel taking over the Patriots, Liam Cohen taking over the Jags.
It's Vrabel because nobody cares about the Jags.
Hmm. Travis Hunter?
Nobody cares about the Jags.
Brian Thomas Jr.?
Nobody cares about the Jags. They really don't. So it's Vrabel.
Okay.
It is both. Yeah, both these guys are great. I love both these guys. I'm in on both these teams. Give me Liam Cohen this year.
For those of you sleeping during the library, please wake up. You cannot sleep in the library. You can sleep at home. First failed story of the year. A book that is no ending, just a bunch of empty pages. The New York Giants or the Indianapolis Colts?
Colts.
E- God. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, Colts. Give me Colts.
No love for Ty Warren, who catches everything.
He does. No, I love him.
Daniel Jones possibly could target him 15 times
problem.
A game.
That's the problem, Daniel Jones.
Okay. No Anthony Richardson, as he is a free agent, basically. Doesn't want to play anymore for anybody because he might have a headache or might not feel like he wants to play.
I think he needs to quit and go, you know, work a normal job, man, see what life's about.
We've talked about it, too. You're Giants, man, that D-line.
I don't think they're going to be as bad. I mean, they may end up, like, 5-12, but I don't think they're going to look 5-12.
Don't forget about Abdul Carter's amazing autograph. For those of you that collect cards, it's just the at sign.
Like a C. I love it.
I think it's great. People need to just relax. It's an A and a C. His name is Abdul Carter.
Right, great.
Best surprise story of 2025/2026. Denver Broncos year two. The Washington Commanders year two.
I'm going to go with Washington because I think their surprise is a big step back.
Ooh.
That was going to be my take as well. That would be the surprise. They're going to take a big step back. Not in on them.
And the last story on the shelf, the new year, same story. The Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals, who, by the way, play week one, where Joe Burrow just cannot seem to beat those Browns. Cincinnati always starts off slow, have to fight all the way uphill. And Cleveland, well, they just never start. So what's a new year, same story book that you're willing to check out?
That's tough because both, I think, are going to be who we think they are. The Browns are going to be bad.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's going to be just above average.
Yep.
Their offense is going to be really good. Their defense ain't going to stop anybody. They're going to put up numbers. They may not win the division, but boy, people will bloviate over Joe Burrow's empty stats because he has to score 40 a game.
And he's petting cats.
I'll take Cincinnati.
Mm. I'll take Cleveland. I think Cincinnati, at least it'll be a different story in that they won't start 0-2 or 1-3.
What if they lose to Cleveland in week one? Is Cleveland the number one team in the nation then? Could they beat Alabama?
That is Tuesday's live audition. Oh.
Wow. Sorry, it's a little loud.
That's the door shutting.
That is the good library. Lord.
Did that wake everybody back up? The DJ scribble there on the record there.
They didn't want it that loud.
Well, you know, you got to wake people up because everybody, you know, they sleep during the the library session. But that is a Likens Library edition that is back for the NFL. Woo. So the music, the tone, the voices,
We got everything back. We've got pumpkin spice lattes. We got the Likens Library.
Yes.
Something else came back last week that everybody was really excited about. Taylor Swift and Travis got engaged, so we got that going on. Like, there's a lot of things that have come back in recent memory, man. We're excited.
Bill Belichick's back, we think.
Yeah. Well, he was on the sidelines. I mean, boy, oh boy.
Dana Hughes and Josh Briscoe back today.
Yep, Dana Hughes.
Tammy Reed's back for another appearance on the show at 8:45 today.
We'll have the wife of the head coach on today. We'll have Dana Hughes on in about 20 minutes. We'll have Josh Briscoe on in about an hour, 2.5 hours, all here today as we dive in. But it is a Tuesday. It is no longer a hot corner Tuesday. It is a tough Tuesday. We get into what the tough Tuesday is here on the other side on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it on a Tuesday. Tough for some, not for Mac and Bob. As they power through their Tuesday as the sun struggling to come up.
Oh, boy, I just went and tried to look like it is struggling to come up, and it also reminds you that the burr months are here, you know, because it's like
September, October, November, December.
It's just late with the sun rising right now, and I'm looking out the window. I'm going, man, there were days, you know, back in June and July, you drive in before even 5 o'clock, and the sun would be coming up, and you'd have that kind of jump start to your day. Mm-hmm. But now I'm looking out there, and it's struggling to get through those clouds this morning, so... Welcome to September.
Tough Tuesday for the sun, but not a tough Tuesday for the temperatures out there. It's a very crisp 62 this morning waking up. But tough Tuesday. For a lot of people, I'm sure you could say Bill Belichick. You could say maybe Clemson. You could say whoever. But I will start our tough Tuesday with the Roll Tide. You got to call Saban today. Get off of the ESPN College Game Day desk. You know you want to get back into football. It ain't going well with DeBoer. They asked him in an interview after the game, you said this week that you had really good preparation going in against Florida State. He said, I said that. The reporter said, yes. He goes, oh, excuse me?
You know, really? Okay.
It didn't look like you guys really prepped well for Florida State. They whipped that ass on Saturday as Florida State rolls Alabama. It is tough for Roll Tide. You always talk about college boosters and the people that are in the, you know, the board. You gotta think that AD's got some emails to go through this morning, spinning his head. Mac, you said a stat about Nick Saban, the first time he had lost four games to unranked opponents.
Yeah, dude, took 128 games to lose to four games to unranked opponents.
This guy's got it already.
Nine.
This guy's got. But again, like what did you expect? You were following the legend, right? Like whoever follows Andy Reid, God love you, Matt Nagy. It's gonna be tough, right? Like it's hard to follow that guy who was the guy, right? Right. Look at what Chip Kelly did when he followed Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He fizzled out. Right. They didn't really find their guy to the next guy. And probably New England the same way. I don't consider Belichick the guy anymore. He's just a coach that had a great Mac quarterback. Brown. I mean, who obviously did better than Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick running 70 new players because Mac Brown's players weren't good enough. And that's what they did last night. 70 new players because Mac Brown's weren't good enough. And that's what he did last night. And I will say this. I don't know if you guys know this. I am a Mac Brown apologist. He was one of the first people I covered when I was down in Texas. So going to Texas practice every day and learning, you know, about sports and whatnot from Mac Brown. He was always just a gracious human being. I love him. So I will Mac Brown apologist. That whatever Bill Belichick did last night, even Mac Brown's going, God, I couldn't have. I mean, this thing was disgusting that they rolled last night. So who do you think is having a tougher Tuesday? The athletic department at Alabama or the athletic department at North Carolina this morning?
Bama.
You think Bama today?
Oh,
yeah, probably.
Rich history, like the A on the helmet, the crimson, like all that sort of stuff. And they'll lose one other game the rest of the year, and they'll be in the college football playoff.
That's exactly right. But also, people have to understand, like, before Nick Saban got there, it was a mess as well. They had a guy that was fired who was coaching at Washington State. I don't even think he coached a game there because he got, like, caught out at a strip club saying, Roll Tide. And he said, baby, it's rolling. And so that guy got fired. Shula's son was the coach there for a hot minute. That was no good. Like, honestly, I think like between Gene Stallings and Nick Saban, it was a wasteland of there at Alabama. And so it ain't an easy job, especially following a guy who did nothing but win national championships down there. Like that Kalen DeBoer guy, man, I feel bad for you because, there's nothing you can do right now that's going to win people back, I don't think. It's just shy of a national championship, you know?
Take the buyout and run away as fast as you can.
Because I think his buyout is actually very good.
Well,
like
take
huge type of buyout.
Alabama will pay that green immediately. Yeah. But here you go, man. Saban, hey.
But Nick, say Nick's not coming back, though. What does Alabama do? Who's the guy then, right?
Yeah, there's not really big answer.
Then you call Notre Dame. You're like, you lost the first game of the year. Hey, what do you want to do? You want to come over here?
Yeah.
All your players can transfer. You know, Plaxico's son, that guy's son, this guy's son, Jerome Bettis' son. They can all come to Alabama and let him go be the coach and get out of Notre Dame. Won't happen, but you know how Alabama is. Yeah. They lose one game.
Marcus Freeman would be unbelievable.
Call Oregon to Dan Lanning. Yeah, you could do that.
Dan Lanning could do that. But maybe they don't want to go back to the Pacific Northwest because this guy was from Washington or wherever and didn't do so good down there. But Dan Lanning's from Missouri, so he knows the area, the SEC, if you will.
I thought he was under Saban, maybe? I don't know. They should get a Saban disciple.
They'll just call Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, right. Get Bill O'Brien back. Freddie Kitchens is still coaching, by the way. Who had that on their bingo card? Freddie Kitchens calling plays for North Carolina last night.
Whichever one of you two wants to nominate your tough Tuesday here today.
Go ahead, Mac.
I'll go with the Chargers.
Oh, no.
It's time.
Didn't the Super Bowl teach you a little bit of something to not be super arrogant about these Chiefs?
This is not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
And you're right. We should have been a little bit more aware of how good that Philadelphia Eagles team is, and that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay.
This is the team that's going to be at best third in the AFC West. They're going to win no more than 9 games. This is a roster that's depleted on multiple fronts, including the offensive line, but the defense. We've been talking about this Chiefs offense for months. They're going to have a good warm up because I don't think this Chargers defense is all that. I really don't. I think they got Khalil Mack. I think they've got...
How old is Khalil Mack these days?
Exactly.
Right? Like Khalil Mack's four teams removed from when he was a superstar.
Exactly. What's funny is he's probably like 32.
I know, but still, I mean,
he's
probably
34.
Not. Oh, is he that old? Because I was going to say he's probably like 30, if that. You know.
I think so, but I could be wrong. But either way, he's a good pass rusher. He's not the DPOY that he was 5-6 years ago. Yeah. Derwin James, not what he was 4 or 5 years ago. I just think it's an older roster that's going to take, with a good draft and good allocation of assets, 1 year rebuild at best. This is probably 2 years away for the Chargers.
And the left tackle's out, right, for the season.
And their best player is out. Their best player's out for the season. So the Chiefs are going to win by double digits. Tough Tuesday, tough week for the Chargers.
Yeah, tough week, tough opponent, tough place to play to get going. You know, you're out of the country. Everything's changed. It's a Friday night. You know, at least it's the first game of the year, so you got all those excuses out of the way of short week and all that stuff. But for me, I'm going to go tough Tuesday. And I don't know who the tough Tuesday is. It's either Trent McDuffie or it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And we won't know the answer to that question until the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
Because if Trent McDuffie balls out this year, for those scoring at home, he didn't get a deal done before this week. Not that that matters. They can still talk and, you know, have all those discussions. And Trent McDuffie still really has 3 more years under contract. There's no kind of rush here to get a deal done with Trent McDuffie, unless you're the Chiefs. Then you want to, you know, lock him up long term and probably save a few bucks. And then Bland goes and signs over the weekend and has that 4-year, $92 million extension with Dallas. And so now that probably changes the money a little bit on Trent McDuffie. And he probably says, hang on a second here. This Bland guy's getting paid. Let me see what I can do this season. So we will know who has a tough Tuesday. Mark this one down. Week one, Tuesday, tough Tuesday. It's either McDuffie or the Chiefs. And we'll know at the end of the year, because if McDuffie balls out like he's been doing, it's a tough Tuesday for the Chiefs not getting that contract done. If McDuffie doesn't play so well, tough Tuesday for Trent McDuffie this week.
What is your percentage that he's signed long-term with the Chiefs?
Well, nothing's ever 100%, but I'm going to say 99% today. Today, it's 99% for me. I do believe that. That's a guy they want. When they want a guy, they get that guy. And so I'm convinced that he's...
Because history would say they're not going to pay a corner top-shelf money.
Yeah.
But, and that's just what I'm going off history. Yeah. I'm not going off of, you know, talent or whatever, but he does kind of seem different.
He's the next killer, you know. Okay. You know, like, not necessarily, like, when Chris Jones retires, he will be, I believe, anyway, that's, you know, kind of the stuff that I've heard over there. He's the guy, like, they want this guy to be that leader on the defensive side. They want him to be their defensive face. So I think you're right about the cornerback position, but I think he, as a player and a person and as a human, is everything they want in a player.
What was your percentage then?
That he gets signed long term?
Yeah.
I think it's probably like 70.
I was going to go
60. I'm not as high as 99, but I mean, I think there's a question, right? I mean, depending on what he does this year, but I mean, Charvarius Ward didn't get signed, LeJarius Sneed didn't get signed, and Trent McDuffie's the next man up. And this is kind of that year where it's like, well, is he going to ball out like Bob said? And then all of a sudden that number is dramatically higher.
Yeah.
Or is this year where it's like, we've seen his peak? Like, we've seen the best of Trent McDuffie, and that was what we've seen already, which is great. That's awesome. Top 3 corner in the league, maybe top 2 corner in the league. But not going to really go above that. And then you can kind of, you know, do your discussions there. But I put it about 70% because I think that was one of the guys that a lot of people thought that they were going to give him a contract this offseason. That did not happen. They ended up giving it to many other players like Nick Bolton. They brought back, you know, Kareem Hunt.
Karl Loftus
got signed out of nowhere. Just kind of was a news drop randomly. You're like, Karl Loftus is getting paid. Okay, sounds good. They're banking on him to kind of like really start to excel in the numbers so they can sign
Trey
him cheaper. Trey Smith.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, he didn't even get signed. He just has a franchise tag.
It's true. Just the tag.
He's not.
No, he signed a contract, didn't he?
I think we did this. Yeah, we've done this. No, I don't think he has.
He did not get extended.
He just signed.
He has a franchise tag.
Because we've done this before,
awaiting
too,
the extension. Because remember, we always said, well, once Trey Smith gets his contract, then everything will fizzle out. Well, he just got the franchise tag, showed up to camp, played, did all his things. And then you have Nick Bolton gets the contract, George Karloftis gets the contract, and you're like, okay, well, Trent McDuffie's time's coming up. And then yesterday we got the news, like, there will not be a contract extension here with Trent McDuffie this year.
Well, they didn't say that. I mean, Veach did say we can still have open dialogue and talk about all that. But again, there's no need to race for this. You still have the 5th-year option after this year, and then you have the franchise tag.
And we're idiots. Trey got it.
Oh, I said Trey signed.
Highest paid guard in the league.
That's right.
Highest paid guard in the league.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
4 years, then you start making me question myself.
No, you're right.
Everything just, we forgot about everything that happened, and now we're back to week one, and we act like
good recap.
Yeah, good job, guys. Great show.
For those just joining us, too, have been out since March.
Exactly. Hey, we're figuring it out too.
Right. And again, no text signs, so you can't tell us we're wrong or that we're idiots, that you hate something that we do, because we can't read it. We don't have any access to it. The boss took it away. Took away music, took away the text line, took away Bob's camera. Week one
of
the NFL.
Kiss my ass.
Off to a hot start. But coming up on the other side, our guy, former wide receiver and color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, Dayton Hughes. He'll join us on the other side on a Tuesday like he does every Tuesday during the NFL season for the Kansas City Chiefs. Dayton Hughes, he'll join here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.